Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another week of Revirginized, which is the unofficial fan podcast for Max's and Just Like That TV series. If you guys are new here, once again, my name is Candace, and I bring you guys all of these weekly recaps. And this week, we are actually going to be recapping episode 5, which means we are almost halfway through the season, guys. So this season 2 is slated for 11 episodes. We are on episode 5, which is titled Trick or Treat. And I do have to start by saying I think this might be my favorite episode so far. In this episode, we get to see a lot of everyone. Anthony Marantino appears on the episode. Dr. Naya Wallace has more of like a story arc on this episode. It was actually really, really well written, in my opinion. I didn't really care so much for Carrie's storyline, but there is a funny backstory about the person making an appearance who's named Peter Herman. He's gonna play the character of George, and I'll tell you all about that when we get there. But even with not really caring so much about Carrie's storyline, I thought the episode was very well written, and it actually had a lot of heart, which we'll get into, especially with Shay's character, which I really enjoyed. As you guys know, I've actually been loving the way they have been writing her personally as a person and everything that she's going through. And you know what? I think I'm gonna actually just start with Shay, because the episode actually opens up with Shay and Miranda. So as I said before, this episode is titled Trick or Treat. And we start with Shay and Miranda. They're doing their thing. She spent the night at Shay's house, but Shay is really so annoying, if I can be so honest. Like, not for nothing, but she's kind of like a bitch. Like, Miranda's alarm goes off and she's just like bugging out a little bit, and then Miranda stubs her toe, which we all know is like the worst pain. I mean, it just sends you to Jupiter. And Shay just has a strong feeling about that. She's like, oh my God. And I'm instantly annoyed and irate, like instantly. But we do start with Miranda. Miranda makes it all the way from Shay's apartment in Manhattan all the way to her house in Brooklyn. And you know, she's trying to do like the co-parenting, you know, motherly thing. You know, when like a parent overly compensates because they feel bad that they're going through a divorce or whatever. So here we have her in her house. She's carving a pumpkin. Brady is going around his Brady day. She's made some pancakes. She's just doing the most, but I actually do love to see it. I feel like the best Miranda that we've been getting this season has been when she's like with her family and, you know, just trying to be a mother and going through her motions with Steve. So I did appreciate that. And you know, the way the story takes us with Miranda has been staying with Brady for a little bit while he's going through his breakup, but she's actually moved in with Dr. Naya Wallace officially. And in this episode, we do see her going shopping for a bed. And it's why I'm like, wait, did she just lose all her money and her savings? Because listen, my bougie ass loves a great sale. But Miranda, you are shopping at Goodwill, okay, for a mattress, but then you're complaining and being picky. So like, I know you can't afford a mattress if it's going to be this crazy and you're going to complain this much. But yes, so you see her trying to make moves in this episode, you know, trying to make her life happen. And we do get a good batch of her and Shay as a couple. Now, before I even get into her and Shay as a couple, I do want to say that Miranda, as a soul person, like, she's been going through it. Like, this the show opens up with an actual trick and treat event. It's a fundraiser hosted by Charlotte and Harry, and it's so funny because everybody's dressed up, and interestingly enough, Charlotte and Harry are dressed up as the Americans, which is actually a very good show, but you would have thought they would have done the most. And Miranda goes as herself, but she brings out a clown nose and she goes, this is like the karmic disaster of my life. So I'm saying all of this to say, like, already she's just beating herself up a lot. And then you see her going through the motions with Shay this episode. They're trying to coexist together. Shay has just been going through her own things. You know, Shay is kind of like a party girl. You know, and in a lot of ways, you actually do forget that she's like a 46-year-old woman, I think is what she says in this episode. And you feel like she's like much, much, much younger. Like, you know, she got her weed going. She has like, it's just a lot happening there. And at some point, Miranda tells her, I feel like I'm cramping your style. So once again, here we have, you know, a bunch of red flags. What I feel like for me, and probably a lot of you guys, it's like these two people really don't know each other. So this entire season, it's been a lot about, I don't know who you are, you know, like I didn't know you were married. And it's been a lot of like conforming, like, hey, maybe we'll have the threesome, even though I'm not comfortable, which we saw last episode. And you know, now it's her partying to like 3:30 in the morning. And the interesting thing about all of this is I feel like if this was anybody else's life, Miranda would have been like, oh, why are you with them? Why are you conforming? What about you? What about your feelings? What about your sleep? Right? But we see Miranda, who's judgmental with everyone else, kind of doing the opposite and in a way being a little bit hypocritical, right? And like going against the thing that she preaches. So that's that. And you know, as this episode does progress and we see more of Miranda and Shay, I did end up feeling really bad for Shay this episode, because Shay's been trying to get her career started and it's been a lot for her because Hollywood wants her to change. So in this episode, we do see that they gave her pilot like a run. And what they do is they pull a bunch of like random people who are going to be unbiased, right? And they let them preview the show to see how it's going to be. So during the secret taping or secret preview of Shay's show, it actually turned out that they did not like her character. Now, here is why I feel bad for Shay. You guys know I love the way that they're writing her. Shay has been telling the writers and Shay has been telling Hollywood, you guys are not portraying me the right way. It comes across as fake. I do not like how you guys are doing this. And for whatever reason, they just don't seem to be listening to her. And I felt really bad because now here you have it where everyone hates her character and now there's nothing that she can do about it, because all it really took was for this group of people to say nay. And as you can imagine, now her pilot is not going to go through. That's what it was. It was a test run for the pilot. So my heart really, really, really went out to her. I felt really bad for her. I was emotional with her because she really tried so hard and everything she was afraid of is exactly what happened. So, you know, there we have it, Shay. And she was so vulnerable and, you know, it was a very good episode. It was a very good episode and it was one of my favorites in that regard that, you know, we were rooting for Shay and her show, but it didn't happen. And that's Hollywood. And I really got to see that raw Shay. And, you know, one of the things that I really hated was the fact that, you know, Miranda kept saying ABC is this, ABC is that, and she's right. ABC is doing all of that and they are being a-holes and they did just tank her show. And the worst part about it is they'll probably never take accountability for the failure that it was because they didn't take heed to what she was saying. So to wrap that up, that's kind of like our Shay and Miranda thing. You know, she ends up telling Miranda she needs space. She's emotional. And no matter how much of a cheerleader Miranda could be, it's just not working. So we do have that. And moving along, I do want to get into this costume party. So as I said, Miranda went as the comic disaster. That's herself. Carrie went as, I'm going to butcher it, Helen Gurry Brown. Which in a lot of ways, Carrie went as herself. But what I love about this costume party is that Charlotte and Harry went as completely opposites of over the top, which is what Charlotte is. She's over the top. I would have thought her Met Gala outfit would have been in this episode. And, you know, but no, she won as the Americans. And Harry has hair. So it was like really cute. And I'm loving this episode with Harry and Charlotte. You know, Rock gets discovered in the park by a guy who claims to be like a photographer. And he is, for Ralph Lauren. And as you can imagine, for a young, 12, 13-year-old girl, this is life, this is everything. And so she spends a good deal of this episode, her and Charlotte, trying to convince Harry to let her, like, go on this modeling gig and whatnot. Because in true father fashion, he thinks that this is, you know, it can be a ploy or deceitful and whatnot. So it's a lot of good back and forth. And then, you know, Charlotte is like, well, I'm gonna take her and I'm gonna be the fun parent. And even at Rock's gig, Harry shows up wearing the hair wig, okay? And it was just really cute to watch and really cute to see. And he actually realizes that it is an actual gig. And what I'm loving about this is that you guys may know from the early Sex and the City series, but Charlotte herself was a teen model for Ralph Lauren. So it's like history repeating itself. And I love it because she's wearing a bunch of vintage Ralph Lauren. She's, you know, Rock is in polo, the same thing that Charlotte was in when she was a model. So I am really, really digging this storyline. It was really cute. Harry realized he had nothing to worry about. And we're realizing that Rock, they may just well be on their way to being a model and to being famous. And, you know, I just love it. So that was a very fun storyline. And we are going to go on a very quick break. But when we come back, I do want to get into my girl LTW, Naya, and Seema. They didn't have that big of a story arc, but it was so cool to see. It was, you know, packed with the sex, packed with the fun. So we're going to go on a quick break and we'll be right back. All right, and we are back. And yes, so I do want to talk about LTW, of course. How can I not? She is my favorite outside of the four main characters, because, you know, Kim will always be one of the main characters. And so when we open up with LTW, she is dancing her ass off. And I love that she is dancing not only with Anthony Marantino, who I love, but I mean, they are getting it in to TLC, like Creep. And I'm like, yes, like do it. And that's what I've always loved about Sex and the City, like the show as a whole. Like, this show just showcased everything, different nationalities, different tastes in music, different everything. So I really enjoyed watching her get down with Anthony, especially because it was such a real moment. Like, I do that in real life. And so she was in true character, of course. Oh my goodness, you guys are probably gonna kill me. I'm gonna butcher this. Cruella, she was Cruella from Dalmatians. She was somebody who I know, but can't pinpoint, but it was somebody from Disney. And Anthony was the devil, and they were going at it. And so it was so cute. And then at some point, Herbert stops her and he's like, hey, you know, like, you shouldn't be dancing like that or whatever, because what I forgot to tell you guys from last week is that Herbert is running for city comptroller. And in true political, living in 2023, everything is recorded, fashion, he's so nervous that something's gonna leak to the press, that his wife was boogieing to a little mini devil or whatever who just so happens to be gay. Like, listen, it is what it is. We're having a great time. Take a chill pill. So yes, so LTW is really cute in this episode. We didn't see that much of her, but I did enjoy seeing her. She was on screen even when they were at home and he came like dressed to the bedroom as George Washington. I'm like, oh, I love you guys. You guys just always give me life. And so speaking of Anthony, he also had a small appearance and he might have like outed this guy. It like this tall Trojan hunk of a man. And he was like, oh my God, remember me? Remember me from the gym? And the guy was like, no. And at first in my head, I'm like, wait, maybe he doesn't know Anthony. But then his wife comes up and he's like, I'm married. I don't know you. But the look he gives Anthony as he walks away, I'm like, ooh, you definitely outed someone. But anyway, moving forward, we do also have Naya Wallace, who also appears in this episode, and I'm just loving what they're doing with her now. At first, the storyline was a little bit, like, her line was boring to me, a little unrealistic, but I am really enjoying this. She was dressed in this sexy cat suit, and I was here for all of it. And so she definitely came ready for that party. And now her and Carrie and Seema are out looking for men. She's ready to date. Something that does piss me off though about Miranda is Miranda's like, are you seriously gonna go meet men at a bar? Miranda, how are you this judgmental, sweetheart? And look at you. But I digress. So yeah, so we do get to see her. She does meet a man. They all go out. Seema picks up a man. Naya picks up a man. She has an amazing one-night stand with this man. And you know, she's offering in this episode, she actually does offer in this episode Miranda to live with her. So that was really sweet. You can definitely tell that their friendship is actually blossoming, and growing and blooming. And who knows, guys, maybe this is the setup for this relationship that I've been hinting about that's all over Reddit. And so yeah, so that's Dr. Naya Wallace, and her and Miranda actually have these cute outfits that they're wearing, which I'm gonna talk to you guys later when we get to the fashion part of this episode. But yes, we love to see you, Naya, living. We love to. I'm already done with Andre Rashad. I don't wanna hear his name. I'm already pissed at him. I'm mad at him. Like, it was not that serious. Like, you're uprooting your entire marriage because you're just mad that your wife doesn't want to have a baby at this moment. And I get that it's a big deal, but I just felt like he just pissed me off completely, especially with the cheating part. So I am all for Dr. Naya Wallace doing what she needs to do for her. And not only did she pick up a man, but Seema picked up a man, and he was hot. He was hot, but he had erectile dysfunction. And what I thought was so stupid in this episode is that they're getting it on, because you know she's mini Samantha. They're getting it on. He takes out his penis pump, but then gets mad at her when she takes out her vibrator. And I think this was the second time they hooked up or the first time, but at some point she takes out her vibrator and he could not do it. He was like, it's a no for me, dog. Like, he was like, that's annoying. Like, I don't want to hear that sound. And she's like, well, I woke up to your penis pump next to my dish rack. So what are you talking about? And so I actually do love that scene. And the reason why is because it's just old school Sex in the City. And I know I keep going back to that, but the writers really did watch Sex in the City for the second season. It's old school Sex in the City. It's giving me when Samantha was dating James and he couldn't get her off, so she would use her little vibrator while they were making love or whatever, and he would like turn it off, and I'm like, oh wow, like this is such old school Sex in the City. Like, how dare you get mad because of like her vibrator, but you can't even get your thing up. So that was Seema. But Seema is so cute, by the way. Like, wow. I know we don't want to admit that she's Samantha, but she's Samantha, right? She's never going to be Samantha, and she's never going to replace Kim. But I do think that this was like a good addition to the show. I enjoy watching her on screen. She is such a good looking woman who wears all of these like cool earth warm tones so well. Like that brown outfit, she was in all brown and different shades of brown, and I'm like, yes, like you can just make anything rock. So that is our Seema. And then we finally move on to Carrie, and I'm gonna end with Carrie. Carrie's not really doing it so much for me in these episodes, but I'm actually okay with that because I do enjoy seeing everybody else. Carrie doesn't need to do anything for me until Aiden comes back. Then I'm okay. But in this episode, as she's talking to Seema about Seema's new hunk, she actually accidentally bumps into a guy on a bike. Now, I had already seen the stills, and I'm sure a bunch of you had as well on Instagram, but this is none other than Peter Herman, who in real life is my girl crush, Mariska Hargitay's husband. And if you are a true Sex and the City fan like myself, you would know that he also played a potential love interest for Charlotte in the Sex and the City series. And I think season six, and I think like around episode six. So he played a character named David, and now he is actually playing a character in George for the And Just Like That series. And Carrie and George go off to a like rough start. He falls off his bike. She takes him to urgent care for fear of being sued. And they kind of get to talking and whatnot. But I think at some point she thinks that he's like broke. So, but she thinks this and she's like afraid of him suing her, which is what made her nervous. Yet she doesn't offer to pay for anything when his card declines. So I'm like, really? That's so interesting. Ha ha ha. So anyway, moving forward, she does show up to his house at some point with food. This is a little cringy to me. Like, Carrie, if you're just trying to flirt, do that. But like, she shows up with food and she's like, oh, I don't know, when was the last time you had a meal? I wouldn't have said that, because as soon as she knocked on his door, anybody can easily tell he's rich. And he's not rich, or like, he's not rich in Christ. He is not well off. Like, no, he is rich. And she's like, yeah, I bought all this food because I didn't know when you had a last meal. What? You could have just said that. Like, sometimes less is better. And so they get into like some flirtation, and he explains to her like he sells these apps and whatnot. And as they're getting like a little heated, his annoying partner calls, and now this guy just irked the living crap out of me. I think his name was Paul. He just irked the crap out of me. Like, he's just walks right into their makeout session and whatnot. And then even when they try to get it on in a later scene, he's like FaceTiming George, but George is Boo Boo the Fool for even answering. It's almost like they are in a marriage. And then Carrie ends up leaving because she's like, nah, it's a no for me, dog. Like, this is way too much. Like, you fully picked up this FaceTime while you and I were almost about to have sex, and he's ringing you out. Like, this guy knows no boundaries. Like, we've already sold three apps. You can ease all the way down, my dude. But that was Carrie's entire storyline. And then, you know, she realizes she doesn't want to be the Yoko to Lennon and McCartney. By the way, fun fact, I love the Beatles. I love Paul McCartney. I was never really into the John Lennon like hype, especially after the way he treated his son Jude. You know what? That's a story for another time. You guys can definitely tweet me or thread me or DM me if you ever want to hear like that crazy random ass story. But yeah, she doesn't want to be the Yoko, back to Carrie. And so she breaks up with him, and honestly, you know, it's over before it started. And that's actually the episode. Like, that's the entire episode. And so to recap it all, I thought it was a good episode. It actually is one of my favorites. It had a lot of potential, and it kind of lived up to it, actually. Like, it had potential to go a little bit further, but it lived up to what I saw in the trailer. I was excited. I feel, like I said before, really bad for Shay. This is someone who's really trying to make a big impact on the LGBTQ community, especially just an impact on her life and the life of everybody else coming after her and even before her. And it really broke my heart, you know. And I know it's fiction, but it broke my heart just seeing her go through what she goes through, especially because in real life this does happen. It happens all the time. So here's hoping that at some point Shay does get on a new show. Here's hoping that she can do a show where she's just herself, where they're gonna allow her to be herself. Shay, you know, we hate you and Miranda together, but we love you individually. So hopefully things look up for her. Miranda, you're just annoying, and I mean, that's that. I do like how she is supportive of Shay. And I do want to quickly talk about, you know, I like how she's doing the therapy. I did mention that her, Steve, and Brady went to therapy, and I think that that's working, but she's not being as open as she can be in therapy either. But, you know, they're trying to make things work, as you saw last episode, and this episode for Brady's sake. She's really trying. So, Amen. I do think I want to see more of Miranda as a mother. Charlotte, Harry, keep doing what you guys are doing. I love you guys. LTW, I love you guys. Naya, I love that you had more in this episode. Seema, just keep being amazing. The episode for me, if I had to rate it, I would probably give it like a 7.5 out of 10. And moving on to the fashion portion, as promised, here are some outfits. So I do want to say, first of all, I did love the costumes for those who did dress up. I do love Miranda's clown nose, because Miranda, you are a clown, honey. You are literally Boo Boo the Fool. So that is that. And then I want to get into Dr. Naya Wallace's dress. I do want to get into that. So Dr. Naya Wallace is wearing a Balkanika brown and black geometric print maxi dress when she's leaving her one night stand. Again, this is a Balkanika brown and black geometric print maxi dress. I don't have the price for it, but I'm sure it's somewhat in the thousands. It is really nice on her. She has wonderful, beautiful skin tone. And you know, these warm colors like the oranges and the browns and the golds and all, they just bring her out even more. So I really love it. And this was like an all brown ensemble, by the way, when she did her walk of shame. Like, she has this brown coat, this brown bag, these brown boots, and it was a whole yes for me. And then I want to point out Carrie wearing Vivian Westwood. So in the scene where she bumps George off of his bike accidentally, she is wearing Vivian Westwood, who also did her wedding dress. I didn't care for it, but I digress, neither here nor there. So she is actually, the coat is Vivian Westwood times Harris tweed purple plaid asymmetric coat. So let me repeat that again. It is a Vivian Westwood times Harris tweed purple plaid asymmetric coat. And here is what I love the most. Yes, girl, for self-promoting. The boots that she is wearing are from her own collection, which is amazing, by the way, the SJP. So she is wearing SJP by Sarah Jessica Parker blue suede cutout knee boots. I actually love these cutout knee boots, and I'm really not a fan of cutouts, but I do love it. I mean, it just brings the outfit together, because in this jacket that she's wearing, it has like some hues of blue. So I'm like, yes, I actually really love this ensemble. They did it really well. And she is carrying a bag by Pierre Cardin. So as I was looking up some more research, because I pulled all of these outfits from multiple sites, she is wearing this bag by Pierre Cardin. And he does a lot of good affordable bags. So I really, 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 really did like that. And those are the only outfits I have for today. And I do also want to highlight another shoe designer. When Carrie was at the bar, wearing that nice ivory and orange ensemble, she wore it with these nice blue shoes, which, yes, if you know me, that is me. I'm all about not matching to the T. So I did love and appreciate this outfit. And those blue sandals are from Gianvito Rossi blue transparent slingback stiletto sandals. Again, that is Gianvito Rossi blue transparent slingback stiletto sandals, and it is a yes. I'm loving the way they're doing Carrie this season. And so before we end, as always, I do have to make sure I am checking for these questions. And actually, I only have one, and it is unknown. People just send me these questions sometimes to Instagram, and it is sometimes it just comes up from an unknown user. But basically, the question is, do you think Harry was right to be worried, or do you think he didn't want to seem like the non-fun parent? Okay, yeah, I think it was a combination of both. I think Harry was right to be worried, because you know, you just can never tell. You never know. Interestingly enough, that is actually how people do get noticed and discovered, by just walking in the park. Like, and someone thought they were cool, you know, and they were hip and they fit the profile, whatever. But, you know, you can never be too sure. But I do also think that there's truth to that statement. Even Charlotte mentioned it. She said, are you worried that, you know, I'm the fun parent for change? So I don't know. I think it's true to both, you know, but I do appreciate that he was trying to look out for his baby girl. And there are actually no more questions. So on that note, guys, thank you once again for tuning in. As always, follow us on Twitter, on Threads, on IG. I love nothing more than to talk all things Sex in the City. So, and just like that, that ends our recap. And I will see you guys next week. Bye.